All right, so let's talk cyber warfare. I mean, it sounds like something straight out of a movie, right?
Right.
But it's becoming more and more real every single day. Like, what happened with the Polish space agency, Polesa, just on March 2nd?
Yeah, they got hit with this cyber attack.
Had to shut down their whole network.
Had to basically go offline.
You sent over some stuff about this,
Oh, I
right?
did, yeah.
Some excerpts from Cyber Attack on Polish Space Agency, Implications and Prevention.
So let's take a deep dive into this.
Yeah, let's unpack it.
Figure out what it all means.
Yeah. So, you know, thinking about this attack, it's really about more than just like, oh, they stole some files or there was a little downtime.
Right.
This could be huge in terms of Poland's national security. I mean, we're talking about people potentially getting access to classified space technology, defense data, even messing with their satellite communications. Okay, so hold on, back up for a second. I know Polesa had to shut everything down, disconnect from the internet, launch an investigation, but what does that actually mean for, you know, for people like me? What's the real world impact of something like this?
Right, so think about it like this. Satellites are sort of like these invisible threads connecting the whole world. And they're crucial for everything. We're talking about navigation
Like
systems,
GPS,
right?
yeah.
Military operations, weather forecasting.
Okay, so pretty important stuff.
Yeah, if that gets compromised, it could be a big deal.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think I read somewhere that like experts estimate disruptions from cyber attacks cost the global space industry over $10 billion a year, which is just crazy to think about. Really puts into perspective how high the stakes are with this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, this wasn't just some isolated incident. When you look at Poland's cybersecurity, you know, like how strong their defenses are against these kinds of attacks, a kind of disturbing pattern emerges.
Like what happened back in May 2024 with the Polish press agency.
With all that fake news about military mobilization, I remember that. It caused a lot of panic.
Yeah, especially for the elections coming up. It was right around the corner.
Right.
Authorities linked that attack to Russian operatives.
Oh, wow.
And then, just a couple of months later, July, Poland's state news agency got hit with an. I mean, some people might say that investing in this level of cybersecurity is kind of overkill, right? For a country like Poland. What do you think about that?
Well, look, in today's world, everybody's connected, and no country is really immune to these kinds of attacks. And you just can't ignore the potential consequences. It's about more than just protecting data. It's protecting national security, economic stability, you know, even international relations.
It's kind of scary to think about. This Polesa thing is like a wake-up call, I think. It shows how vulnerable everyone is. Even sophisticated organizations can be totally caught off guard. And what really struck me in the material you sent is that this isn't just happening to Poland. There are a couple of other examples,
Oh, yeah.
like the African Union in 2024. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Crippled their whole IT system for a week.
Over a week. It's crazy.
Hundreds of devices infected, operations disrupted, and they never figured out who did it.
It's unsettling. And
Yeah.
then you had Boeing, right?
Boeing, yeah. Late 2023, their defense and space division, they got hit with this Lockbit ransomware, exploited some vulnerabilities in their Citrix systems.
So even a company like Boeing, with all their resources, they're not immune to this.
No one is immune. It's clear from these examples that these cyber criminals, they're getting really good at this. Whether they're state-sponsored or independent, they are constantly finding new ways to exploit vulnerabilities, and they are not afraid to go after big targets.
So this is a huge problem. It's serious and it's getting worse. But what can we do about it? I mean, the source material mentioned a company called Technegen, and they seem to specialize in cybersecurity solutions. Now, I don't want to, you know, give them a free commercial or anything, but maybe we can use them as a starting point just for thinking about prevention.
Okay, sure.
What do they do?
So they focus on this thing called advanced threat detection systems, and specifically ones powered by AI.
Oh, AI. Okay, now before you get too technical on me, can you explain how that works?
Okay, so imagine you've got this digital bloodhound constantly sniffing out the bad guys.
I like that.
So these AI platforms, what they do is they analyze tons and tons of network traffic
In real time.
in real time. They're looking for any weird patterns, anything that could mean someone's trying to break in. And the cool thing about AI is it learns as it goes, so it gets better and better at spotting those threats and neutralizing them before they even become a problem.
So like a 247 security guard for your computer systems, that's pretty impressive, but is it enough? I mean, can it really keep up with all the constantly changing threats?
It's definitely a big piece of the puzzle, but it's not the whole picture.
Okay.
Advanced threat detection is just one part of a comprehensive IT security strategy. You also got to prioritize things like cloud security, data encryption, and some really solid network security solutions. It's like building this digital fortress around your most valuable stuff.
Right. But what about human error?
Oh, the human factor.
Yeah, I mean, we've all clicked on a bad link or downloaded something we shouldn't have.
Right.
You are so right. That is often the weakest link.
Mm.
I mean, the source material said that something like 85% of cyber attacks exploit human error in some way.
Wow.
That's why employee training is so important. You have to make your people the first line of defense. Teach them to spot things like phishing attempts, recognize malware, basically understand good cybersecurity hygiene.
Okay, but how do you make cybersecurity training stick? I mean, how do you get people to take it seriously, to change their behavior?
Yeah, that's a tough one. A lot of companies struggle with that. I think one way is to make the training more interactive and engaging. You know, use real-world situations and simulations to really drive the point home. And it can't just be a one-time thing.
Right.
You got to create this whole culture of cybersecurity awareness where everybody feels responsible for security.
So make security a habit, something they think about every day.
Exactly. Not just checking a box on a form once a year.
Right, right. Now, you mentioned a few other things organizations need to prioritize, like cloud security, data encryption, all that. Can you break those down a little bit? What does it actually look like in practice?
Okay. So cloud security is all about protecting your data and applications that are stored online. It involves things like access controls, encryption, and regular security assessments. You're basically securing your digital vault in the sky.
Okay. Got it. What about data encryption?
So that's basically scrambling your data.
Okay.
Making it unreadable to anybody who doesn't have the key.
So even if someone gets it, they can't do anything with it.
Exactly. Like putting your sensitive information in a lockbox.
Gotcha. And then network security solutions. That sounds complicated.
It can be, yeah. But the basic idea is to build a secure perimeter around your computer systems. We're talking about things like firewalls, intrusion detection systems, and security protocols that monitor and control the flow of traffic. You're keeping the bad guys out.
Building an impenetrable digital fortress. But with all these cyber attacks getting more sophisticated, how can organizations even keep up? It feels like a losing battle sometimes.
It's true. It's a constant challenge.
Yeah.
It really is. And it brings us to a big question. What happens when these attacks go beyond isolated incidents like the ones we've been talking about? What if they start going after critical infrastructure?
That's scary to think about. I mean, we've seen how disruptive they can be on a small scale, but if we're talking about things like power grids, financial systems, healthcare networks, I mean, the consequences are almost unthinkable.
Absolutely. And that's why it's important to understand the bigger picture. This isn't just about data.
It's about our whole way of life.
Exactly.
Okay, well, this is a lot to take in, but I think it's important that we're having this conversation.
I agree.
And I'm sure our listeners feel the same way. But before we go any further, let's just take a minute to recap. We've covered a lot in this first part of our deep dive. What are some of the key takeaways you think our listeners should be thinking about at this point?
Okay. Well, I think the biggest one is that cybersecurity is no longer just a tech issue. It's a societal issue. We all have a role to play in protecting ourselves and our communities.
Yeah, I agree. It's not just about firewalls and fancy tech. It's about awareness, education, and people working together.
Right.
And these threats are always changing, so we have to stay informed, stay proactive, and be ready to adapt.
Absolutely. And there's no magic bullet. There's no one solution that fits everyone.
Right.
Every organization, every individual has got to figure out their own risks.
Okay.
And develop their own strategy.
So awareness, proactivity, adaptability, and a tailored approach.
That's it.
Those are some great takeaways. I think our listeners will find those really helpful. Now, I know we're just scratching the surface here. There's a lot more to unpack.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But for now, let's pause and give everyone a chance to think about what we've discussed.
Sounds good.
All right. So stay with us, folks. We'll be back in a moment to continue our deep dive into this whole world of cyber warfare and what it means for the future.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a minute to sort of process everything we talked about in the last segment, because now we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the potential consequences if these cyber attacks start targeting critical infrastructure.
Okay.
It sounds a little bit like, you know, a sci-fi movie.
Right, right.
But it's a very real threat, and the stakes are incredibly high.
Yeah, I mean, when we say critical infrastructure, it can sound a little bit jargony,
Right.
but we're talking about the systems that keep society functioning.
Yeah.
Power grids, transportation networks, financial institutions, healthcare systems, all of that. You know, the stuff we don't really think about until it's gone.
Exactly. These are the backbone of our modern world. And the more we rely on digital technologies, the more vulnerable these systems become to these attacks. Just imagine if, like, a group of hackers got into the power grid and just shut down the electricity to an entire city.
Ooh, that's scary to think about.
I know.
Chaos everywhere. No lights, no heating or cooling, hospitals struggling to function, communication networks going down. I mean, it'd be like going back in time 100 years or something.
And the economic impact would be enormous. I mean, businesses would shut down, supply chains disrupted, financial markets could crash. We're talking about, like, potentially trillions of dollars in losses.
Yeah, and it's not even just about the immediate aftermath of an attack. I mean, the long-term consequences could be even worse, right?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
think about the loss of public trust,
Yeah.
potential for social unrest, and then you've got geopolitical tensions escalating.
That's a good point. You know, these attacks on critical infrastructure can destabilize entire countries. And in a world that's already dealing with so many problems like climate change, political division, a major cyber attack could just push things over the edge.
Okay, that's a pretty bleak picture.
It is.
Kind of overwhelming to think about, honestly.
It is. But that's exactly why we're talking about it, you know, to raise awareness, to learn about it, and start thinking about what we can do.
Exactly, knowledge is power, right?
Exactly. And when it comes to cybersecurity, it's our best defense. The more we know, the better prepared we are to protect ourselves and our communities.
Okay, so let's talk about solutions. What can we do to protect this critical infrastructure from these attacks? I mean, can we even make them completely impenetrable?
Well, I don't think we can ever be 100% secure. But that doesn't mean we can't do anything. There are steps we can take to make these systems a lot tougher.
Okay, so it's about like making them harder to crack, putting up roadblocks.
Exactly. And one of the best strategies is to use what we call a multi-layered approach to security.
Multi-layered.
Yeah, think of it like building a castle. You don't rely on just one wall to keep invaders out, right? You got multiple layers of defense: a moat, a drawbridge, archers, guards on the walls.
Okay, so in the digital world, what would those layers look like?
Okay, well, the first layer is prevention. Strong passwords, multi-factor authentication, keeping your software updated, and, as we talked about before, employee training. It's all about making it as difficult as possible for hackers to get in.
So keep them out in the first place. But what if they do get in?
Okay, well, then we need the second layer, detection. Sophisticated systems that can watch all the network traffic in real time, look for anything suspicious, and then alert security teams right away.
So, like having those guards up on the castle walls.
Exactly.
Okay, and then what happens when they spot something?
Well, that's when we go to the third layer, response. We need to have plans in place so we can react fast, contain the threat, and neutralize it.
So we've got prevention, we've got detection, we've got response. What's next?
Recovery. Picking up the pieces after an attack and getting everything back online.
That makes sense. So it's like having a backup plan.
It's crucial. You got to have good backup systems so you can restore data and get those essential services running again quickly. And then there's one more layer: collaboration. Yeah, cybersecurity isn't something any one organization or country can do alone. We have to share information, work together to fight these threats.
It's like those old medieval alliances,
Exactly. Where kingdoms would team up to defend against a common enemy. And in today's world, that kind of collaboration is more important than ever.
Okay, so we've got our five layers: prevention, detection, response, recovery, and collaboration. Seems like a pretty solid framework. But how do we know if it's actually working?
How do you measure cybersecurity effectiveness?
How do we measure our progress and make sure we're staying ahead of the bad guys?
It's tough, but there are some key things we can track, like how many successful attacks there are, how long it takes to detect and contain them, and how much it costs to recover.
So basically, we're looking at how often they're getting in, how quickly we can stop them, and how much damage they do.
Exactly. And this is where data analytics and AI can be really helpful. We can use these technologies to analyze all this data, look for patterns, and try to predict future threats.
So AI can be used for good and bad.
That's right. And as AI gets more advanced, we're going to see even more innovative applications in cybersecurity.
It's like we're in this new era of digital warfare. The battlefield's always changing, and the weapons are getting more sophisticated all the time.
That's a great way to put it. And in this new kind of war, it's not just about having the strongest weapons, it's about being the most adaptable.
It's about being one step ahead.
Yeah.
But you know, with all this talk about high-tech solutions, it's easy to forget about the human element. I mean, people are still a big part of the equation.
Absolutely. Even the best security system can be broken if somebody clicks on the wrong link or falls for a scam.
Okay. So let's talk about the human side of things. What can individuals do to protect themselves and to protect their organizations?
It starts with awareness. People need to understand the risks and be able to spot those potential threats.
Think before you click. Be wary of suspicious emails.
Right.
Be cautious online.
Exactly. It's like being street smart in the digital world. And beyond awareness, it's about building good habits, like using strong passwords, multi-factor authentication, keeping your software updated, and backing up your data.
So it's about being proactive, taking those small steps that can make a big difference.
Absolutely. And it's not just about protecting yourself. It's about helping to protect others. If you see something fishy online, report it. Warn your colleagues about phishing emails. We all have a responsibility to look out for each other.
It's about creating a culture where everyone is invested in cybersecurity.
Exactly.
I think that's a great place to leave it for now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, we've talked a lot about the Pulse attack and the bigger picture of global cybersecurity, and it's definitely been a lot to take in, but there's still more to explore.
There is.
So stay with us, folks, because in our final segment, we're going to dive even deeper into this whole world of cyber warfare. We're going to look at what it all means for the future.
All right, so we're back. And, you know, we've been talking about this Pulse attack and all the ways to boost cybersecurity. But I got to say, I keep thinking about the bigger picture. It feels like we're just at the beginning of something huge.
I know what you mean. It's like we're watching the first scene of some, like, historical drama play out in real time. Oh. Pulse, the African Union, Boeing, those were just the early warnings.
And it's not just those big headline events, right? It's the constant stuff happening under the radar, the data breaches and phishing scams and all the disinformation. It just feels like things are getting really shaky in the digital world.
And, you know, the really unsettling thing is how all of this is changing the balance of power globally. It used to be that military strength was measured in tanks and missiles, but now it's all about who can fight in cyberspace. Yeah, it's like borders don't even matter anymore. A hacker sitting anywhere in the world can disrupt a critical system on the other side of the planet.
Exactly. And that's what makes this so difficult to deal with using traditional defense strategies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you strike back when you don't even know who attacked you?
Right. It's like fighting a ghost. And then there's the whole question of what even counts as an act of war in cyberspace. Is it stealing data, disrupting services, causing actual physical damage? We don't even have clear rules yet.
You're right. That uncertainty makes everything really dangerous because misunderstandings and escalations could have huge consequences. It's kind of like when nuclear weapons first came about and nobody really knew how destructive they could be.
It's funny, you know, earlier we were saying this all feels like a sci-fi thriller, but the truth is it's even scarier because it's happening right now to all of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just like any good thriller, there's a sense of suspense. Like, we don't know what's going to happen next. What'll the next big cyber attack be? Will it be a country? Will it be some rogue group? Will it be some kind of accident? We just don't know.
But we do know how high the stakes are and who the players are. So I think the big question is, what's the end game here? What does the future look like if cyber warfare keeps escalating?
Well, there are a lot of smart people trying to figure that out. Some think it'll lead to a world where countries isolate themselves digitally, constantly trying to protect themselves from attacks. Others think it'll force countries to work together more because they'll realize cybersecurity is something they have to tackle as a global community.
So I've got two possible paths. One leads to isolation and mistrust, the other to cooperation and some kind of digital peace treaty. Feels like we're at a crossroads, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And the choices we make now, the actions we take, we'll decide which path we end up on.
And that's why conversations like this are so important. We need to understand what's at stake so we can make good decisions.
I agree. The more people understand about cyber warfare, the better equipped we'll be to navigate this new reality.
It's about making sure people aren't just passive bystanders. We need to be active participants in shaping the future of cybersecurity.
I like that. Cybersecurity isn't just for the tech experts and government folks. It affects all of us.
Well, on that note, I think we've come to the end of our deep dive into this cyber attack on the Polish Space Agency and what it means for the future of global cybersecurity.
It's been a fascinating journey, and I hope our listeners learned something from it.
Me too. It's definitely made us think about the challenges ahead, but it's also shown us that knowledge is power and that everyone can do something to make a difference.
We can't predict the future, but we can get ready for it. And that starts with understanding the threats, learning how to stay safe online, and encouraging others to do the same.
So to our listeners, we'll leave you with this thought. Stay informed, stay alert, and stay involved. The future of cybersecurity is up to all of us.
And always stay curious. There's a lot to learn out there.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, stay safe in the digital world.